We're in Exodus chapter 16. We're learning about manna. And of course, Jesus Christ said that manna that came in the desert that may have kept you alive for a day, I am the true bread of life. But back to Exodus 16, verse 13, in the evening the quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they didn't know what it was. That makes sense. There had never been manna before, and there isn't any manna now. There are some liberal theologians who want to say the manna is insect flakes, or the manna comes from the tamarisk tree, or whatever. Oh, hogwash. The manna was miraculously made by God to keep the Israelites alive in a desert situation. There's 2.5 million guys out there in the desert, and God's going to keep them alive, and he did it by manna. And the manna existed for this 40-year period. Very, very soon after the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, as they were led into the land by Joshua, the manna stopped. So there hadn't been any manna before, and the people walked up to it, and they said, "What is it?" in verse 15. And in the Hebrew, manhu means, "What is it?" So the word manna is, "What is it?" Pass me some of that, "What is it?" Okay, where's the "what is it?" It's in the cupboard. But that's what manna is. It's a "what is it?" They didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, "I'll tell you what it is. It's the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one of you is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent, if you want." An omer is probably very close to 2 quarts. I mean, if you want to eat a half a gallon of this stuff, that's fine. Verse 17, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little didn't have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. Par for the course. Not going to pay any attention. They kept part of it till morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. Manna rotted amazingly quickly, and Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed. When the sun grew hot, it melted away. Now think a second. You know, God here is providing for the needs of the Israelites, but this isn't a giveaway program. This isn't chunks of food that appear in their pots every day. It appears on the ground, and it's like small flakes of frost. And when the sun gets hot, it melts. It goes away. So God says, "Okay, I'll feed you. But if you think you're not working, you've got another thing coming. Because you're going to have to get up in the morning, and you're going to have to run around, you and your families, and scrape this stuff up, pick it up." And I mean, it'd be hard to pick up. Can you imagine going around a blades of grass and scraping the dew up enough that there would be a solid mass there where you could eat it, maybe 2 quarts? That'd take you a little bit. And furthermore, if you slept in and the sun came up, it was gone. And you went hungry that day. So God says, "Sure, I'll feed you, but you're going to get up and you're going to get out and you're going to work for it." And that was very much a part of this manna. Then everyone gathered it. Verse 22, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. So on the sixth day, the manna would not breed maggots and stink. On the sixth day, God said, "Fine, I don't want you out working on the Sabbath, so you gather up twice as much as you need, and tomorrow it'll be fine as it was." Verse 31, the people of Israel called the bread manna. What is it? They called it, "What is it?" It was white, like coriander seed, and tasted like wafers made with honey. Which, by the way, you can read about more about the taste in Numbers chapter 11, verses 7 to 9. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you up out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept." The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. And then the Bible clarifies an omer is a tenth of an ephah. So if you want to know what an omer is, it's a tenth of an ephah. There, that settles that. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Does this sound familiar? It's like an instant replay. They should have just played the tape of when they just left Egypt. Again, rather than going to God, rather than coming to Moses, it's complain, murmur, gripe. Give us water to drink. And then in verse 3, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" And Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I going to do with these people?" Over and over again, these same problems. Moses says, "They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you with the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And that's an interesting thing about in testing the Lord. You know, a lot of times people say, "Oh, I don't want to pray for this. I don't want to tempt the Lord. I don't want to pray for that. I don't want to tempt the Lord." You don't tempt the Lord by asking him to do something for you. You test the Lord by doubting that he will do something for you. God wants to help. God wants to bless. God wants to give. And when people say, "Oh, God's not here. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do this," that's when you begin to test God, not when you say, "God, please, I have a need in this area," and you petition and pray for that need. That's not testing the Lord. It's when you're doubting the Lord's ability. That's when you begin to test the Lord. And here Moses struck the rock, and it did bring forth water, by the way. One other time Moses will have to strike a rock to bring forth water, and that'll come up in Numbers chapter 20. Well, then the Amalekites, starting in chapter 8, come, and the Amalekites attack Israel. And in chapter 18, the Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, shows up and brings Moses' wife and Moses' children. And in chapter 19, we get to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. The Israelites have been wandering, and finally they reach Mount Sinai. Chapter 19, verse 1. "In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day, they came to the desert of Sinai." It is unclear exactly what "on the very day" means. The third month on the very day that they left, which would make this the 15th day of the third month, or they would have been wandering 2 months. Or what I tend to believe the meaning is, the third month that very day, meaning it would be the first day of the third month. Remember, the Israelites left on the 15th of Nisan, which was the 15th day of the first month. Well, the 15th day of the first month to the 15th day of the second month would be a month. The 15th day of the first month to the first day of the third month would be a month and a half. And that, I think, is the time period we're dealing with here, although textually it is possible that we are dealing with a two-month period than a month and a half period. So after about a month and a half, 2 months, the Israelites, after leaving Egypt, come to Mount Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai. Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. Now we're back to the Ten Commandments movie and traditions. Traditionally, most people believe that Moses went up Mount Sinai, got the Ten Commandments. Moses came back down, broke the Ten Commandments, went up Mount Sinai again, got the Ten Commandments again, and came back down. And Moses went up and down Mount Sinai twice. That is not at all the case. Moses, as we will see, went up and down Mount Sinai 7 times. He got the Ten Commandments on the 5th time up the mountain. But I should point out here, and we'll see this as the story develops, the Ten Commandments were not first given by God to Moses written on stone. The commandments were shouted off the mountaintop to the people. And that's important to understand. Because in the giving of the Ten Commandments, Moses did not spend 40 days and 40 nights on top of Mount Sinai to retemorize or memorize 10 verses. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights to learn about the tabernacle. The Ten Commandments had been given earlier. And we're going to see that here. Because in verse 3, Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." This was very important. Israel was called out from all the nations to be a priest to God for all the nations, to tell everybody about God. It's a sad fact, instead of telling everybody about God, especially by the time of Jesus Christ, the scribes and Pharisees figured out they didn't want other people included, and then they did their best to exclude other people from the things of God. You want to learn about God, you got to be a proselyte. You want to learn about God this, and you want to learn about God do that. Where God's original intent was, I'm going to call you out from among the nations, you're going to be a priest of nations, you get to represent me to the whole world. God said, these are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So verse 7, Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people. So he goes back down where the people are, set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded, "We will do everything the Lord had said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. Well, where's the Lord? He's up on top of the mountain. This is his second time up. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you." The people will hear me, God, speaking with you, Moses, and will always put their trust in you. Moses told the Lord what the people had said. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes. Be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain.'" So verse 14, after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, now if you're keeping a chart of this, 19:14 is Moses' second time down the mountain. He went up in verse 3, went down in verse 7, went back up in verse 8, now in verse 14 he's going down for the second time. He consecrated them, and they all washed their clothes. Verse 16, "On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled." Why? Well, because there wasn't anybody up on the mountain to blow the trumpet. They had set bounds around the mountain that if anybody touched, he was to be shot with an arrow or stoned to death. Not even an animal was allowed to touch it. And on the third day off of the mountain, toot, here comes this trumpet blast. And everybody in the camp trembled because they know there wasn't anybody up there to blow the trumpet, so it's got to be God and his hosts. Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like the smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai, and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down." And Moses said, "I just got here." Now, Sinai is a high mountain. Again, I don't know if the Sinai they call the traditional Sinai is the exact mountain, but I've been down to the traditional Mount Sinai, and it's high. And the rest of those granite mountains down there are high, too. And Moses is 80 years old. And he hikes all the way up because God calls him up, and then God says, go down. So, again, God says, go down. I don't want the people up here. Consecrate the people. Make sure that they don't come up. Verse 25, so Moses went down to the people, and he told them. Chapter 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, when it says God spoke all these words, where was Moses? Where was Moses? Verse 25 says he was down with the people. He was down with the people. Moses didn't get the Ten Commandments by going up to the top of the mountain and hanging out there with God, and then God secretly giving him these tablets. The Ten Commandments were originally given when God had Moses gather all the people at the base of Mount Sinai, and God, in a loud voice, spoke all these words, and he shouts down off the top of the Mount Sinai these Ten Commandments. Verse 18, after all the commandments were spoken, you can see, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpets, saw the mountain in the smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness. And that'll be Moses' fourth time up. Now, this teaching that God shouted the Ten Commandments down on the people is new in many ways to some people. I'd like to show you that that appears in the Bible in more than one place. If you'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy is a recap. The book of Deuteronomy was written in the last month of Moses' life, and only a couple months before Joshua took the Israelites across the Jordan River. And the Hebrew for Deuteronomy was, these are the words. But when the Greeks got a hold of Deuteronomy and read it, they said, gee, this is just seems like a recap of what was in Exodus. So they called it Deuteronomy. Nomos in Greek is law, Deutero 2. So they called it, oh, this is the second law. This is a recap. And in many ways, Deuteronomy recaps some of the things that occurred in the earlier books. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is recapping, and he says in verse 10, all right, you Israelites, remember, verse 10, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. God did, obviously, write the law on two stone tablets. That'll be later. First, he, as the verse says, verse 12, the Lord spoke to you out of the fire, you heard the sound of the words. This is recapped again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, Moses summoned all Israel and said, hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant. Now remember, the fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you hear so much about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses saying, look, wait a minute, guys. It wasn't with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. The Lord spoke to you face to face. This isn't something where Moses just came meandering down the mountain with two tablets. The Lord spoke to them. We read that in Exodus. We read it in Deuteronomy 4. He spoke to them out of the fire. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and didn't go up to the mountain. And God said, I am the Lord your God, verse 7. You shall have no other gods, verse 8. You shall not make an idol, verse 11. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. And the Ten Commandments are repeated here. Verse 22, Moses still speaking. He says, these are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. And he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on two stone tablets and gave them to me. Now you Israelites, verse 23, when you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leading men of your tribes and your elders came to me, and you said, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? Moses, you go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. So the people heard the Ten Commandments. Here's Moses. There's the Mount Sinai. If you remember from Exodus, the mountain was on a smoke. There was a great fire going up to heaven. There's a loud voice, I am the Lord your God. And that really frightened the people. And they went to Moses and said, boy, if we hear any more of these words, we're going to die. Moses, this is the way we want it. If you'll just go and talk to God, and then whatever God says, you come back and tell us, we'll obey you. Is that okay? And it's interesting that of all the hundreds of commandments in the Old Testament law, God only spoke 10 to the people, the Ten Commandments. Why? Because the people specifically requested that they didn't want God to give them any more of the law. They wanted Moses to get the law, and then they would learn from him. And that's exactly what happened. The rest of the law was given to Moses, and Moses brought it down to the people. You'll see the same truth repeated if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 14, Moses is talking and giving revelation about some of the ways the people are to behave and how they're not supposed to practice witchcraft or divination or anything like that. And in verse 14, the nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die. Moses says, look, there's going to be a prophet raised up like unto me. And you must listen to that prophet. God's going to speak to that prophet, and you must listen to him. Why? Because what you said was you didn't want God to talk to you. You wanted to hear from prophets like me. You wanted God to speak to me and me to talk to you. Okay, that's the agreement. God will speak to me, I speak to you, you obey. God's going to speak to him, he's going to speak to you, you obey. That's what you wanted, that's what you get. So, by golly, you must listen to him. And that prophet, of course, that it's speaking of would be Jesus Christ. That prophet that would speak and they must listen. So again, here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we see more about the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, verse 17, the Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. And that's exactly right. And Jesus Christ spoke those words that we are accountable to listen to. But that's how the Ten Commandments were actually given. Moses went up the mountain, came down the mountain, consecrated the people, went up again, came down again, went up again, came down again. Between his third and fourth time up the mountain, God spoke out of the fire in a loud voice these Ten Commandments. Verse 21 of Exodus chapter 20. If we go back to Exodus chapter 20, Moses approaches the thick darkness where God was. Moses goes up for the fourth time. What's Moses do up on the mountain this time? This time, Moses gets the laws by which Israel is going to govern themselves. Remember that Moses hasn't gone away yet for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's going to have to. So God now is trying to prepare the Israelites for that and also for life. So he calls Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses is up there. Well, God gives Moses Exodus 21, 22, 23, which are laws by which Israel will conduct civil life. In Exodus 24, verse 1, God says to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance. Moses alone is to approach." 24:1 said, "Come up to the Lord." God says to Moses, "Come up to the Lord." I thought he was already up. He was, but Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the elders, they weren't. So if Moses is going to obey and going to come up to the Lord with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the elders, he's going to have to go down and get them. And so in verse 3 of Exodus 24, when Moses went and told the people all of the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. So in verse 3, down Moses goes, down Mount Sinai for the fourth time. And the people are good for their word. They listen to what Moses said. Remember, they said, "We don't want to hear from God anymore. You talk to him, Moses, and you tell us what he said, and we'll obey." So Moses comes down the mountain with chapters 21, chapter 22, chapter 23, all these civil laws. And when the people hear it, they said, "Okay, we'll do that." And Moses writes down all the laws. And the next verse 4, he got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, set up stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel, sent young Israelites men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Verse 6, Moses took half the blood and put it in bowls, the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the Book of the Covenant. The Book of the Covenant is the name that will technically be given to the civil laws enumerated in chapter 21, chapter 22, chapter 23. Took the Book of the Covenant, these laws that they're supposed to obey, read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." God has a problem here because Moses is not yet gone away for 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to see now that there should be at this point that the Israelites could hang on for 40 days and 40 nights. They've seen many, many signs, miracles, and wonders. They have heard God's voice from off Mount Sinai, and they now have these laws that they can live by while Moses is gone for 40 days and 40 nights. But God's not through with the Israelites yet. He's got some more signs and wonders that he wants to make absolutely sure these people will behave themselves while Moses is gone for 40 days and 40 nights. And we'll pick up that in the next tape. And this is the end of this tape.